Morning.
Morning. Morning.
We're about a month into the lesson, and we're only on chapter 5. But I think, for me, it's been one of the most powerful studies that I've done in a very long time. When we start talking about the Holy Spirit and what is able to do in us and the beginning of the church, it's been one of those lessons that has really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And hopefully for you as well. If you weren't here for this morning class, you missed a great discussion about the beginning of the church and the impact that it has to where we're at today. You missed some good stories about Jerry and his house. You missed good stories about in the final episode. So I'll leave that to encourage you to come and study with us at Bible class. For more information, see us at 9:30 next Sunday. And my little encouragement for you. All right, we've talked about the Holy Spirit, and we've talked about the different gifts that it gives each and every one of us, how it impacts our lives. But I want us to talk about this morning in chapter 5. It talks about the promise of receiving the Holy Spirit. That promise to us, each and every one of us. If you haven't got a handout, there's a handout back on the table. And if you ain't got one, you can grab one out to be able to take notes. A little just information for you. You'll see throughout the lesson, it says, read at home this week. There's several notes of homework throughout there. This is one of those areas where I can't cover it all in this 30, 45 minutes, 2-hour lesson that we're going to have this morning. It would be a 2-hour lesson if I went through everything. So I strongly encourage you, when you see the notes, read at home this week. Read that chapter, because it gives you more information that I just can't cover in a sermon. Let's go back to the beginning of our discussion, back in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 39. Now, let's reference this once again, because it's going directly to relate to what we're talking about this morning. If you have a handout, it's already in there, and it's highlighted for you as well. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 39, it says this. When the people had heard this, they were cut to the heart. Remember, we had that last week highlighted. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" They were just told that they were the ones that crucified Christ and they needed to repent. And what do we need to do? So they all asked. Listen to Peter's reply once again. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, you." Who? "Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Who's left out of that picture? Nobody. Who's left out of that picture today? Nobody. We need to understand that as we move forward, that we receive the same Holy Spirit, the same that they did back then. We read and marvel of all the miracles that the apostles were able to do and the other ones they anointed, and we marvel at their abilities. What I want you to do this morning as we talk about that, and what I talked about in class this morning, we tend to dial back the Holy Spirit. I want you to ramp up the Holy Spirit from this point on, because it's a promise given to you. And hopefully the good Lord will give me the ability this morning to explain it in a way that you appreciate and you understand. And there's no confusion about what the job of the Holy Spirit is. You know, in John chapter 14, and I have this as your homework, one of your homework. You need to read that chapter because there's so much information that I can't cover it all. You know, Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples. So he's trying to encourage them. He's trying to comfort his disciples this morning. And John chapter 14, verse 5, it tells this. It says this. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I'm getting ready to leave." And he said, "You can't come follow me right now." And Thomas wants to know, if you leave, how are we going to know the way? And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know him, my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." You want a way to get to the Heavenly Father is through Jesus. That's what he's telling. You've seen that. You've seen me in action. You know the way. I've shown you the way. They're not at the point of full understanding. They're not at the point of really concepting and wrapping their head around the whole everything that's going on. But Jesus is going to provide a way that they will be. But he tells them, if you know me, you know the Father. You know, Philip says in verse 8, jumping down a little bit, "Lord, show us the Father, and that's all will be enough for us." You know, they still have doubt. They still don't get it. They still don't want to. Just show me the Father, and then there will be no more doubt. And Jesus was telling them, "You see him in what I do and how I live and glorifying him. You see the Father every day. You've been with the Father every day." But they don't quite get it. Down in verse 11, it tells us this. "Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me." Or at least believe the evidence of the work themselves. He says, "Believe me. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me." And he goes back and says, believe all the evidence I showed you and all the evidence I left behind for you, all the miracles and all the way of then. At least look at the evidence. You know what tells me, brothers and sisters? There's enough evidence in this world today that we should have no doubt. No doubt. Who is the Father and who is the Son and the way home? All the evidence is there. In verse 15, it tells us this. Jesus promised them the Holy Spirit. That's why I told you to read. I need you to read the whole chapter, because listen to this. In verse 15, he tells us this. "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." I'm not going to be here, but I'm not leaving you by yourself. I'm not leaving you to figure all this out by yourself. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because he has neither seen him nor know him. But you know him, for he lives within who? Within you. And will be in you. The Holy Spirit lives within you and will be with you. And he says, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. We're going to talk about here in a little bit. It's for a purpose and a reason that all of this is occurring. Oh, look at there. John chapter 16. Read at home this week. You see how hard it would be to cover all this? We'd be here all day. It would be one of those sermons that lasts until we go to Petersburg this evening. Verse 6 says this. "Your heart are full of sorrow because I tell you these things." He tells you he understands what they're going through. They're getting ready to lose the loved one who's been with them all this journey. And he says, I tell you the truth. It's better for you that I go away. If I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When the Helper comes, he will show you the word of truth about the world, the truth about sin. He will show the world about being right with God. And he will show the world what is to be guilty. Lord Christ said, the only way you're going to get the Helper is if I leave. That's the only way. We talked about it this morning, and quickly I'll kind of cover what we talked about a little bit about Jerry this morning. We talked about when Jerry built his house, he had to develop a plan. And when he built the plan, he put a foundation down. And then after that, then all these workers came, built the walls, the plumbing, the roof, the floor, all this activity to make this house come of fact. But it had to have a good foundation, Jesus Christ. It had to have a plan God created. And then all the disciples started working and building this house. Why do we build a house? Why does God build a house? Why did God build the church? So he could dwell within it. You are the church. Not these buildings that we looked at. You are the church. He built it. We have what we need today. It was read earlier in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Let me read it one more time. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that every servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good works. We have it. This word right here is God-breathed. We have everything that the first century church didn't have at the very beginning. We have all the evidence. We have all the directions. It's right here in our hand today. What a blessing to have God's breathing word in our hands today. That's something I think we take granted for. You read this and you struggle with some of the readings. It's not that hard. But we have a helper within us, the Holy Spirit, to help us understand what His word is. He leaves nothing out for chance. He provides everything that we need to be successful as Christians. What happens when we're not successful as Christians, we dial something back. We let that God's Word sit there and not study it. But we take the Holy Spirit and say, no, no, you're not working today because I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But when we have this, and the Holy Spirit works through us, there is nothing that we cannot accomplish as Christians. Nothing. The only person that dials it back is ourselves. Is our faith in the Holy Spirit, our faith in God's Word, our faith in Christ Jesus, and His ability today. You know, in verse 12, it tells us this, as I read on, I still have many things to say to you. You are not strong enough to understand them. The Holy Spirit is coming, and He will lead you in all truth. He will not speak His own words. He will speak what He hears. He will tell you of things to come. He will honor me. He will receive what is mine, and I will tell it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. That's why I say to you, He will receive what is mine and will tell you and tell it to you. The Holy Spirit doesn't hold anything back. Jesus was telling the disciples, you just can't understand it yet, but that's okay. You got the Holy Spirit coming who will help you understand. You'll have a better understanding about what the whole plan is. You have that. So, which Holy Spirit do we have today? Is it not the same one? He doesn't hold anything back. If you want to know God's plan, you want to. The Holy Spirit's only going to tell you what God has for him to tell him, because he's going to glorify his Father. It's the same Spirit. God holds nothing back for us. As we really think about that, God holds nothing back for us. Acts 5, verse 32 tells us this. We have seen these things and are telling about them. The Holy Spirit makes these things known. Also, God gives the Spirit to those who obey Him. God gives the Spirit to those who do His will and do His way. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. In Romans 8, verses 9 and 11, says this, "But you are not doing what your sins old self wants you to do." When you're doing what the Holy Spirit does and what God has planned for you, you're not doing your sinful ways anymore. You've given that up. You go and do what's right. If you have God's Spirit living in you, no one belongs to Christ if he does not have Christ's Spirit in him. Did you hear that? No one belongs to Christ if he does not have Christ, the Holy Spirit, in him. If Christ is in you, your spirit lives because you are right with God, and yet your body is dead because of sin. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus. Wait a minute. Listen to that. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. If the same Holy Spirit lives in you, He will give life to your body in the same way. That just blew me away when I read that. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. The power of the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. If the same Holy Spirit lives in you, He will give you life to your body in the same way. That flat out tells us it's the same Holy Spirit. That flat out tells us the same Holy Spirit that dwelled in Jesus is the same Holy Spirit living today. And we need to understand that. And we need to look at that. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Remember, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Or do you not know what the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? We need to realize that our body, our life, is the home of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us for a purpose and a reason. And we don't belong to ourselves anymore. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. 2 Timothy 2, verse chapter 1 is another home reading assignment, because there's so much information in there that you need to look at. 2 Timothy 2, 1, 13 and 14 tells us this. Keep all these things I've taught you. They were given to you in the faith and love of Jesus Christ. Keep all these things I've taught you. That they were given to you in the faith and love of Jesus Christ, because He loves you. Keep safe that which is He has trusted you with by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We've been given a precious gift. And we need to understand that and realize that and realize what's been given to us. We've been in charge. Just imagine if somebody says, here's $1 million, please keep it safe. $1 million in my hand and I'm supposed to keep it safe before something, to make sure nothing happens to it. Just imagine being given the Holy Spirit, here, the Holy Spirit. All the power and ability in the Holy Spirit has been handed over to you. What are you doing with it?
How are you treating it? How are you treating the temple? What's the temple designed to do back in the old times? It was designed to worship God. That's what a temple was designed for and built for, to glorify God. And if you're a temple, what are you designed to do? You're designed to worship God in everything that you do. And sometimes we don't realize what precious gifts that we've been given, what precious honor that we are considered a temple of God, and what that truly means. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. When you're sealed, and when I say that, sealed or mark, we've been sealed and we have the mark of the Holy Spirit as we see up here on here. Everybody should know that we have the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, 13 through 15 says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message, the truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believe, you were marked with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit of your inheritance." Think about that for a second. You've been given a deposit of your inheritance. That's what it's considered when you receive the Holy Spirit of your inheritance. And listen to the rest of this. "Unto the redemption of those days who are God's, the promise to praise of His glory. Until the redemption of those who are God's, promise to praise of His glory." What does that mean? When we're given our inheritance, we're going to inherit eternal life and all the gifts that we're about to receive, because we're in that final chapter. We talked about that this morning. We're in that final story. We talked about this morning about if you ever watch a video series on TV, the last episode of the year. It's usually dramatic. It usually something happens. I watched the fire ones as I talked about this morning. And usually it's a building collapse with a bunch of firefighters trapped in it. And until I got to wait a whole nother year to see what happens. Or the final episode, when everything comes to a big closure. It's not just ends. Hey, what just happened? They make it dramatic. You are in the final days. There's nothing else to come but eternity. Do you realize that? This is it. How you live and how you come across is now. There's not a second coming of 1,000 years for Christ on this earth. This is it. What you do with your life and what you do with the Holy Spirit matters today. You know, we sing a song. And I think I brought it up one time when we were doing the study of Christ. But we sing a song. In our song books, it's 464. "Because He Lives." It's talking about Jesus. But it's the same thing when we talk about the Holy Spirit. The chorus says, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And live is worth living just because He lives." Because the Holy Spirit is active in us each and every day. He lives in us. He gives us the ability to have a hope for a future. You can turn that same song in and turn it in about the Holy Spirit. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He's active in our life, He's going to help us through those hard times and struggles. Ephesians 1, verse 5 tells us this. "God already planned to have us as His own children." God already had a plan. When we talk about that, like we were talking about this morning about Adam and Eve, from the very beginning when Adam and Eve eaten forbidden fruit, God developed this plan. He knew He was going to have to send His Son down on this earth. And He knew He was going to have to die for our sins. And He knew He was going to have to give us the Holy Spirit to help us through along the way. He knew that. He has a plan. He planned already from the very beginning for us to be His children. And this was done by Jesus Christ in His plan. God wanted this done. That verse right there tells us our God pursues us. He goes after us. He wants us to have everything that we need to be successful as Christians. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20, it tells us this. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we read earlier, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Listen to this part. Therefore, honor God with your body. You were bought with a price, a costly price. You are not your own. Therefore, honor your God with your body. So what we do in our daily lives matters. How we act at work matters. How we act in this church matters. How we act out there in public matters. We don't come together once a week and say, all right, we're done and we're getting what we need. It's not about us, brothers and sisters. It's about the temple that we're sharing to others. So when you have that interaction with your family, it matters. When you have that interaction at work, it matters. People should see the temple of God in you every day. They should see the Holy Spirit in you acting every day. We need to honor God and the gift that He gave us. In verse 5, it reads this. On our body is like a house. We live in here on earth. We talked about this morning about building a house and with Jerry. Our body is like a house. We live here on earth. When it is destroyed, we know that God has another body for us in heaven. The new one, we will not be made by human hands as a house is made. This body lasts forever. Right now, we cry out inside of ourselves because we wish we could have our new body, which we will have in heaven. We will not be without a body. We will live in a new body. While we are in this body, we cry inside ourselves because of the things are hard for us. Things on this earth are not easy, not meant to be easy. Not meant to be easy. It is not that we want to die. Instead, is we want to live in our bodies. We want this dying body to be changed into a living body that lasts forever. If God, who has made us ready for this change, we give us the Spirit to show us what He has for us. And I apologize for one thing right off the get-go. I don't have the book and chapter in it. I just noticed that. So I will get that in the updated notes. Because all the verses I read, I can't tell you right offhand. I have it in my notes. I do apologize for that. But listen to what it says. It's not that we want to die. Instead, we want to live in our new body. As Christians, we have work to do while we're here on earth. We're told it's not easy. It's not going to be, especially in this body. This body is weak, and we struggle. When temptation comes, and when pain comes, we know it's hard. It's because we want that new body. And as God, who has made us ready for the change, He has given us the Spirit to show us what He has for us. It's not about this earth. It's about the eternal life with Christ Jesus. You know, in John chapter, in you don't have that written in there. It's something I thought about as I'm on my way to church this morning, and I wrote it as a note when I got here. But you can write John chapter 16, verse 33 down on your notes. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world we will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us in our struggles each and every day. That's what He does for us. He helps us overcome the world. But what do we do as Christians? We tend to dial it back. And we face these troubles and tribulations on our own. And God gives us all the resources that He left for the first century church, that He gave Jesus. He gives us today the ability to overcome the world. Be at peace, He tells us. Because Jesus says, I've already overcome the world. I've already overcome death. I've already overcome anything that you need to worry about. I've already been there and done that. Let us not dial back the Holy Spirit. Let us not dial back the power that Christ Jesus has in us. Let us not dial back what the Father does for us each and every day. Rely on the Holy Spirit. The way you live matters. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you unless you allow it to. Christ doesn't act in you unless you allow Him to act in you. The Father doesn't enter your house unless you open the door. But just imagine the remodel He does to you. Think about that. Yeah, I live in an old house from I don't know what time frame. But imagine if somebody came up and knocked on my door and said, hey, I want to come in here and remodel your whole house from top to bottom. What would we say? I'd say, well, wait, what's the catch? What's the catch? Nothing. I'm going to pay for it all. Matter of fact, I've already paid for it. I'm going to come in there and give you a brand new house. I'm going to remodel it from top to bottom, and it's going to look beautiful. Would we hold back? Why do we do that with our life? God's promised to come in there and redo our life from top to bottom. Give us everything that we need. No cost to us. He's already paid the price. He's already made the plans. And it's going to be so beautiful. He's got a brand new body just waiting for us. Why are we holding back? When I go to work, and I talked about it this morning, the gentleman at work, that they are letting him into the office so he can clean the office, and we talk about this every morning. We talk about if everybody truly understands what it meant to be a Christian, nobody would turn it down. But we also talked about this morning, as me and Wesley were talking about, Satan likes to put up smoke screens and tell you, no, it's not going to be that beautiful. Or the pain really does hurt, don't it? And it gets us off track. I'm telling you, brothers, if you and sisters, if you just stay on track, you have everything you need. He sent you somebody who's going to advocate for you, who's going to be there for you, who's going to provide you everything that you need. And that's the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but quit relying on yourself. That's all I can tell you this morning, is quit relying on yourself and turn it over to God. He can do miracles just like He did in the first century church. There's nothing that He can't do in your life or change for you if you allow it. So, like I said, we've got great elders who will pray over you and be with you and guide you and give you wisdom, more wisdom than I have. All you got to do is come up here and we can do it together as a congregation. We can pray together as a congregation. So if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.